You've got a friend. I want to call your attention this morning to a verse of Scripture in James. We're actually going through the book of James and searching for real faith. That's our theme, searching for real faith, not just faith. You know, we all have regular faith, faith that if you drive down the road, your car is not going to break down on you. That's regular faith. Faith that if you sit in the pew, that the pew is not going to collapse. That's regular faith. We're talking about real faith in God, to not only trust what he can do in your life, but trust what he can do with your life. Real faith. Amen? So let's go with the scripture. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to actually, on the screens you have the National New International Version. I'm going to actually read it from the King James, and as we shall read that scripture. Where do wars come and fights come from? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and obtain, cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may consume it or spend it on your pleasures. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We've read from the New King James. Amen. The New King James, and that's James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your awesome grace, your power, and your goodness. We ask that you would speak to our hearts now. Speak clearly, speak boldly, that we might be able to hear your word. But more than hearing, we might become doers of your word. Change us, Father. Change us by what we hear. Don't just allow us to come to church, Father, and just hear another message, sing another song, pray another prayer without it impacting our lives, that we indeed might become the people of God. We're here for a reason, and that reason is to serve you and glorify you. And now, God, we ask that you would just live greatly and boldly in our lives, that in all that we do, it bring honor to your name. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. And all the people said, amen. We want to preach on the subject, the war zone. The war zone. In the old King James, it asked, whence cometh wars? Come they not from your members that war within you? Where do wars come from? Where do they break out? And how do they start within us? If we're going to understand the walk of faith and how to believe in God, we have to deal with the things that are going on inside of us. You can solve all of the other problems in the world. You can resolve and stop all the wars and conflicts in the world. But until you deal with the war on the inside, the war within your members, you've not solved anything. The war zone is where we need to visit this morning and where we need to look within ourselves and ask God some important questions. How do I stop this fighting? And yes, we do acknowledge and we do say that there are wars going on in our world. When we think about the war in Afghanistan or the bloodshed in Syria, we think about the hurting people in Somalia and how many of them have been driven from their homeland because of wars and strifes. The fightings in Ethiopia and Iraq and even on the West Bank between the Palestinians and the Jews. We think about the wars in the Philippines and Colombia. We think about the struggles in Yemen and all of the parts of the world. And yes, these are conflicts. These are battles that those that are rivaling against one another need to come together into some resolution. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about a war of a different sort. The war on the inside, the struggle between you and God and you and what you ought to be in the eyes of God and in the arms of God. There's another war that we've got to pay attention to. There's a war zone. Not only what causes the war, the sin that battles within us, but we have to think about and think clearly about what's the damage. What's it bringing about, and what does it look like? You've read and you've probably visited, and some of you may be living near or in some of the areas that were impacted by the tornado last Sunday. And we're concerned. We want to know how we can help and how we can be with you in this process. And many are describing it as a war zone. Trees and sometimes houses have been leveled because of that storm that came through. But there's a storm brewing in our hearts. And even among the saved people, there are wars and battles that are going on, conflicts that's going on. And we say to ourselves, I've got to deal with this. But may I say to you that you and I, we cannot deal with it alone. It's a battle that though you might fight it and you might find yourself in the midst of that battle, you cannot deal with it alone. Without the help of God, it's just like the tongue. No one can tame it. And so this war that's raging on the inside of us, no one can end it except God. And God will not come in where he's not invited. He will not deal with things that you've not submitted to him and asked him, Lord, take control of this. Work in my heart, work in my life so that this war can come to an end. It's called a peace treaty. And I can guarantee you that you will not only have peace with God, you will have peace from God. And then when you go out into the world, you will have the peace of God. God wants to help us with the war zone. Amen? How many of you are looking for help? Now, all of us have struggles. So this is not a stand back and wonder who he's talking to sermon. This is a message that deals with the conflicts that go on inside of us, sometimes daily, and in many instances, constantly. We've got to end the war. And the way that you negotiate, the way that you're able to come to a place of resolution is that two parties have to come together. And they have to decide the best way to move forward. May I say to you that one of those parties is you. You probably guessed it, right? Amen. But may I also say that the struggle maybe could be with God. As we look at this, we find that our battles fought by mankind, many of them have been dealt with over the ages, but the one that cannot end on its own is the battle within. The battle within. People see this war zone. They see the impacts of war. They see what it does because sometimes it'll manifest itself in bitterness. People are angry and bitter. Why? Because something is unresolved on the inside. Some respond to it in a different way. Some will have the attitude of just brokenness and defeat. They go around with their head hung down because they're a victim of war and they can't stop it. The bombardment of words or of messages that seem to go in and out of our mind and then to circle back through again, wreaking havoc. Wonder what would have happened if that storm had decided I'm going to go a second round. Wonder what would happen. But by the grace of God, it just came through once. But some of us are facing destruction and things that are bombarding our minds on a daily basis. We cannot turn off the war. You can't. But God can. So James asked this question, what causes war? Where do quarrels come from? Have you ever seen people Sometimes marriages. Hello, you on in the building? Sometimes they'll kind of quarrel with each other. Love each other, but just mad, upset. And what you ought to realize is that James deals with this. And he asks the question, don't they come from the... Now, you've got to do the evaluation. You've got to say, yes, James. Yes, you're absolutely right. That's where it comes from. And though I may take out or I may display my upsetness, just created a word, upsetness. I might show it to someone else, but they're not my problem. If you would, speak to your neighbor and say, you're not my problem. I might have a problem with you, but you're not my problem. And I might show how that I'm upset, but you're not my problem. You're not my problem. I've got something else that's going on. When I read this message and as I studied, I had to look at the things that go on in my life and the things that sometimes will cause me to be upset. It's not the world on the outside. It's the world on the inside. On April 12th, 1861, 157 years ago, the first shots were fired in Fort Sumter, South Carolina. And that was the beginning of what they call the Civil War. Thousands of lives were lost because two sides were fighting against one another. One of the issues was slavery. Some say end it. Some say, no, we need it because it helps our economy. The South was against the North for another reason, because they saw the South emerging as an industrial empire using agriculture as its base, and it needed some labor. Thus, you had the Civil War. And it did not end until both sides down here in Appomattox, Virginia, had to come together and say, let's stop this. Let's end this. At some point in your life and in my life, I've got to come together with somebody and negotiate the terms of a peace agreement. James asked the question, where do these wars come from? From the inside. What's going on? You got these desires. You've got these things that are happening on the inside of us. And only God can bring it to an end. But by the grace of God, we would have still been fighting that civil war. You know why? Because 157 years later, you still have racial wars. And people not realizing, though your color on the outside might be different, you're the same. You are one human race. Amen? But guess what? If you add God to race, what do you got? Grace. I thought about that a long time, and I thought I'd add that. You say, preacher, where's the war zone? The war zone is because of uncontrolled desires. Listen to what James says in verse 1. He said, where do wars come from? Do they not come from your desires? The old King James says, lust. And these lusts are the passions that go on in people's lives. I made a note here. They are an insatiable appetite for the wrong things. An insatiable appetite for the wrong things and wanting them to fulfill the wrong goals in life. Uncontrolled desires. Where do they come from? The desires that we have sometimes, the cravings that we have. And the Bible tells us in one of the commandments, it says, thou shalt not covet. What is he talking about? Those desires. Now, the commandment nailed it. It says, here's your problem. But the commandment did not solve it, because you and I, we can acknowledge the problem, but unless you come up with the answer, haven't done us much good. So now we've got to try to come up with the answer. The second thing that we're dealing with is unfulfilled dreams. Not only the uncontrolled desires, but the unfulfilled dreams. Verse 2 says, you lust and you have not. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, but you do not ask. And when you ask for the wrong reason. Unfulfilled dreams. Now, I don't need a show of hands. How many of y'all have wanted good things to happen and bad things took its place? You sought for the good and bad showed up. But you did something about it. Those of you that were brave enough and wise enough, you said to yourself, okay, that's just one. Let me get back up and try it again. Any folk that got back up? Any of you that turn it over to God and said, Lord, you take care of this and you lead me, you help me. Yeah, you fell down, but you got back up, right? Isn't that what life is all about? If you look at the Savior that we serve, there were many things that he wanted people to do. As a matter of fact, he wept over Jerusalem because it would not repent. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers its brood, and you would not. They didn't repent. He wanted it, but they didn't repent. He wanted people to turn from their evil ways, but they did not. But he rose again, and then some people got it. And those that got it said, thank you, Lord. So in life, you're going to have some unfulfilled dreams, as James says. And these are where the wars come from. Because when dreams are not fulfilled and people don't do anything to ask God to help them, here's what happens. They get an attitude. They're mad at everybody. It's your fault. You're the reason I did that. Or are you the reason why I'm living this way? But really, really, you can blame everybody. But until you point the finger at yourself, you're not ending the war. Amen? Y'all, I see you all awake, so you. I couldn't say you're enjoying the message, but you're learning something. Amen. And then other people, because they have unfulfilled dreams, what they'll try to do is live them vicariously through somebody else. They're called bossy folk. But how many of you are so glad to be alive? You don't have time to tell other people what to do. You're trying to figure life out for yourself. Amen. Try just one day. So glad to be in the service one more time. James lists the third thing. He says, unanswered demands. And what's happening here? He said, you ask, but you don't ask God. You're going to people and you're saying to them, or you're saying to yourself, I can do this. Now, you can do some things, but you can't do all things. And there's no need of you spending a lot of time trying to do the God thing when you are not God. At this point, you need to talk to yourself and say, I'm not God. But it's good to know God. Why do we come to church? We come to church to know God. We come to church for God to speak to us, to tell us where we've come short. And the wonderful thing about this God, even when he's chastising you, amen. Did you know that for him to chastise you, he has to have you in his hands? Amen. You have to be in his presence. And the fact that he's correcting you means that he's got a plan for your life and he's trying to get you straight. How many times have God chastened us? And we said, Lord, why are you doing this? Don't ask him why. Just say, Lord, show me what I need to do after this. Amen. I remember one time my brother was getting spanking. Well, back then you got a whipping. I'm calling a spanking because, you know, we want to be, what do they call it, politically correct. You got a whipping. And he said, Mom, I don't know why you whipping me, but whatever you whipping for, I ain't going to do it no more. But James has a second problem with the unanswered dreams and the unanswered demands. The second problem, he says, when you ask with the wrong motives. And I went back and I looked at this and I said, now what is James talking about? He's coming from the Jewish perspective. He's coming from the Jewish culture when he brings out this verse. What the Jews would do, they would go out and they would pray, God, send us proselytes or send us converts. All right? They're praying, okay, God, we want to go out and we want to change somebody and bring them into our faith. Sounds like a good prayer, doesn't it? But guess what would happen if that prayer was not answered? They would go and take the folks' stuff because they were considered an infidel. Can you imagine that? I'm going to pray that you get saved, but if you don't get saved, I'm going to take your stuff because you ain't saved. I've actually heard ministers of the gospel say, well, don't worry about the folks that are unsaved because when the kingdom comes, we get to take their stuff. I wouldn't say that. Now, here's the reason why. Because if God can't give it to you, you don't need it. Somebody shout on that one. And if God doesn't give it to you, you don't want it. Look at somebody and tell them, I don't want your stuff. You might have good stuff. I don't want it. It's called covetousness. And so what James was telling to his fellow Jews, what he was saying is, you're asking for the wrong things for the wrong reason. You got this conditional cause. Well, okay, God, if you don't convert them, then that gives me the right to come in and take their stuff. If you think that's a prayer amiss, listen to this one. God, I want to love you because you give me good things. You got this prosperity in mind. Let me tell you something. If God doesn't give you anything else but his grace to save you, he's already given you too much. Amen. If he doesn't give you, listen, Lazarus was a man that all he had in his life was salvation. But guess what paid off in the end? His salvation. Don't get confused over the stuff of this world because it can easy come and it can easy go. Just pray that God would lead you every day. And what he gives you, thank him for it. Give him praise for it. Say, Lord, this is extra. Amen. A little money in the bank, this is extra. Retirement account, this is extra. He didn't have to do it. You know why? Because even if you had no money in the bank, didn't God take care of you? So James lists these problems of uncontrolled desires, unfulfilled dreams, and unanswered demands. And he says, these are the things that are at war. And the only one that can successfully expel them and bring them under control is God Almighty. And that's where we're turning today because we need God's peace agreement. I've wrestled over stuff and woke up 2 o'clock in the morning wrestling with stuff. You know how when it wakes you up? Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I had a couple of amens. I mean, and sometimes it's so rude, it'll kick you. Man, what's going on here? And you get up and you start worrying. And 4 o'clock come, I got to get up in an hour grid. Dad, I didn't get any rest. And what you could have done at 2 o'clock is just gone back to sleep and said, Lord, is in your... Am I talking to anybody? You need a peace agreement. You need God to speak his peace into your life. I'll tell you another thing you need to do is when you wake up at 2 o'clock, start quoting the 23rd Psalm. Because you know that way. I mean, even when you sleep, you can remember them. Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. Every time the word come, he making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside. Y'all got that? And then if you get past that one and you're still awake, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord. It works. Amen. Am I helping somebody? Here's the peace agreement. Here are the terms. And these are hard terms, but you've got to admit that that's who we've been. The fact that we've depended on somebody else other than God that makes us adulterers. Because when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and then you want to break off that relationship and go out here and flirt with something else in the world that you think is going to make you happy, well, I got 10 plans to success. You're committing spiritual adultery. All right, y'all get that? I'm preaching to me too now. And so he says, give up the friendship with the world. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Don't become a friend of the world. What's in the world? All that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, what you see, One shopping experience says, see it, want it, get it. Y'all like that? That's good to have some of the things in the world, but don't let them have you. You got Christ. You got the Lord. You got the living God. And if you had nothing else but you and the living God, you still got all you need. Clap your hands at that one. That's a good one. Second thing is be humble. Be humble before God. What does it say? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself, you're saying, God, I'm just a nobody. And I know you made me, but some of the things in life has just floored me. And so while I'm at this broken state, I just want to humble myself and ask for your help. And God will do that. Be humble before God. Then the third thing is submit to God. That verse actually says, submit to God and resist the devil. I can tell you that if you submit to God, you will resist the devil. Because what you're technically doing when you submit to God, you say, Lord, I'm on your side. You're no longer on the side of the enemy, so you're automatically resisting him. And the Bible says he will flee from you. Now, that don't mean that you're so big and you're so bad and the devil running. You're just on God's side. Do you get it? Amen. And the devil ain't going to mess with God. So if you're on the Lord's side, he's not going to mess with you. All right? Amen. Submit to God. Come under the leadership of God. That's what the word submission means. I had a second lieutenant when I was in the military. He was younger than me. But I had to salute him and pay him honor. He didn't know what I knew. But he was the second lieutenant, just as green as he could be. Had to come and ask me for every question, but I had to honor him. Now, if I'm willing to submit to a second lieutenant that didn't know nothing, come on now, then why won't I submit to God who knows everything? Why can't I say to him, Lord, you're my maker. Lord, you're my shield. You're my help. You're my armor. You're everything to me. I mean, I pop a salute. Sir, yes, sir. And when it comes to God, sir, yes, sir. Because I know that he's Almighty God. Isn't that awesome? So submit to him. And the third thing, draw near to God. Now, we would think, just get a little bit closer. That's not what it says. It says, get as close as you possibly can. And say, yesterday, God, you and I were real tight. Today, we want to get tighter than that. How's that? Because when you get tight with God, you'll get right with God. Is the man preaching? So, but seriously, when you get close as you can to God, where nothing can come between you and your God, ladies and gentlemen, the war has to stop. And that's the whole point. We want the war to end so that we can trust him more and serve him better. Here's where you wave the white flag. You know what you do when your car break down on the road? You stick that little handkerchief up in the window and say, I give up. I'm walking away. Anybody? I'm on the expressway, right? I'm trying to get to work. And my Honda that I depended on had to put the white rag in the window. Tony, that was bad. But I'm thankful to God that one day I decided, God, I want the war to be over. I waved the white flag. I said, Lord, I can't handle this. Some of you are there today, and all you got to do is just wave that. He knows what you, or just try to get your hand up. You don't even have to have a handkerchief. We call it a handkerchief down in Clover, in Scottsburg. I know y'all call them handkerchief. Or hanky, we had handkerchief. Wave the white flag. Amen. Don't argue with God. And then what you can do is ask and pray in faith, because now your faith is working. And then you can also pray with the right motives. When you get to the place where you pray the simple prayer, God, not what I want. I want a whole lot of stuff. But I know some of the things I really want is not good for me. So I'm going to end my prayer. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to pray this one prayer, whatever you want for my life. I'll be satisfied. In other words, any way you bless me, Lord. Anybody ever say that? It's all right with me. And if you just bless me to wake up, it's all right with me. If I don't wake up, it's all right with me. It's all right. Because anyway, pray with the right motives. Pray knowing that God will not and cannot fail. That he will never change his nature. If he was good yesterday, then guess what? He's good today. And as a matter of fact, he's good right now. Give him a hand of praise. So as we look at the goodness of God, as we think about his mercy and his power, we have to also acknowledge that he is the Lord. And there's none beside him. Before we get ready to receive our offering, T.L. has a song that she's going to sing and share with you today so that you will know that he is God. Amen? Amen. Amen.